Please be seated. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight the paths. We've shouted this message. Our Savior and Messiah has come to set us free. Hallelujah, right? Y'all did not affirm that in the manner I was expecting this morning. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. All these things being proclaimed as Jesus rode in, not on a white thoroughbred, adorned with gold and red decor as a confident prince riding and waving arrogantly at the crowds beneath him as people lay their very clothes on the ground as a sign of respect, the veritable first century red carpet. This person who is supposed to reign over God's people, who is called the Lord of Lords, someone we want to paint a picture as the perfect ruler coming in to stop all the corruption, the greed, and the persecution, this person doesn't quite look like what we had in mind. Here's Jesus riding in on a young donkey, by far not the most majestic animal. But maybe there's some symbolism there we can figure out later on. He's 30-ish, a bit young for a king, but maybe he's tailor cut for the job. Why not give the young guy a shot after all? Lots of young folks have proved themselves worthy as rulers. Look at Queen Elizabeth. His followers don't look like the kind of people, though, that would normally be following a sovereign king around. I mean, a bunch of ex-salty fishermen, Roman tax collector. I even think there might be some Samaritans in there. Okay, we can deal with that, but oh my goodness, there's some women. Well, we might have to draw the line right there. I think it's time we fix this. Can someone go pull Jesus aside and let's have a talk with him? You know, like you always have with the new pastor when they start. Jesus, let me tell you a few things about these people here in this church. They don't like being told what they should and shouldn't do, especially if it's something they are used to doing. So what's the harm in letting them continue some of these errant ways? Just turn a blind eye like the last few pastors. I mean, the so-called Messiah. They always show the new person a grand entry, but don't really want to change anything from how it's been done now, unless it's going to result in them getting more power for themselves. So if that's the case, they're your best friends. Every church wants to change until it has to change. Well, they may or may not have done that to Jesus back in the day, but we don't do that now, do we? I didn't think so. Everyone has this grand image of Jesus that I dare say borderline romanticizes his actual existence. If you don't believe me, look at the windows and the paintings that adorn sanctuaries around the world and museums. The thing that bothers me the most is Jesus with blonde hair and blue eyes. I never met Jesus in person, but I'm fairly confident that a first century Palestinian Arab would have brown eyes and dark hair with a really good tan. You know, the kind of person that's always randomly selected by the TSA for a random pat down. Every time he flew, his luggage would have that little piece of paper that says the TSA just went through your bag. But so goes our faith. We forget the radicalness that Jesus called all those who followed him to show the men and the women, the Gentile and the Jew and the slave and the free. We put Christ up on a pedestal, elevated above all else, like a trophy on the mantle collecting dust, not thinking the presence of our Lord goes with us wherever we are. You wake up. Christ is there. When you're standing there at the Keurig that's taken forever, waiting for that first cup of coffee, Christ is there, driving down the road, dodging potholes on Middle Neck Road. Christ is there during the afternoon naps that those little ones love so much. Boy, Christ is there. Down by the riverside. That's as sing-songy as I'm going to get for y'all. Lord, Christ is there. Family arguments. Christ is there. When we hit rock bottom, Christ is always there. with each and every single one of us. We can't just lay out the red carpet for our Lord when we're expecting Jesus to come and then say, roll him up, and say, not right now, Jesus, you got me at a bad time, or this isn't quite the relationship, Jesus, that I was expecting. Jesus, I think I need a little bit of space. We throw the palms up and we lay down our coats to prepare the way for the Lord, but often only times when it's to our advantage. When it's inconvenient to be a follower of Christ, we join the crowd a few days later for some entertainment, right? Barabbas is freed and Jesus is condemned. However, this is a covenant being made with us by God. And a covenant is made in the same manner that one would cut down a tree. Literally, God cuts a covenant with us. And like a tree that's been cut, we can't change it. You can't go back there and stick it in the ground and expect it to continue to grow. We can't restore it. We can't tweak it. That tree will never be like it was before, just like we can never be like we were before. Because God has called us to a purpose and to the foot of that tree. God's cut down that tree. And then we ended up fashioning a cross out of it. Nailed the Messiah to it. Because Christ wasn't what we expected in our faith journey. Jesus, in our minds, was supposed to be this great, big, huge, majestic, riding on a white, noble steed king, who is supposed to bridge that one huge obstacle for us and to bring us salvation. The sad, yet I guess optimistic thing is it took us rejecting him before we realized that Christ really did indeed provide that last big bridge over that last great obstacle called death, which holds us back from the realization of what it means to live in God's kingdom here and now in this world. One day, our great journey is going to take us home, ultimately. But until that day comes, we have every right and inclination to live our lives as if we're in the end times, which is what Paul, the writer in the Bible, urged those early Christian followers to do. Because no one knows when Christ is going to return. Because when Christ comes again, it's going to be like a thief in the night. Because if the homeowner had known when the thief would have come, they'd have stayed awake, wouldn't they? Yet in our lives, we run into obstacles. Our lives are like driving down, here it is again, Port Boulevard between Campus Drive and Northern Boulevard. There are going to be a few rough patches or 2 miles. But here's the good news. Remember who's there when we wake up, making our coffee, with us in all those unexpected places and unexpected times? Christ is, right? In all those unexpected places and unexpected times in our life's journey as followers of Jesus, our Lord's taught us the ways that we should follow. Jesus gets us over that first obstacle, whatever it is in our life that's a hurdle to us, as well as the other points that may cause us to stumble along the way, all the way to the point where Christ brings us back to God, our Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer, that last obstacle which was bridged when Christ was crucified. I'm thankful our Lord rode in not on a thoroughbred, but a donkey. I'm thankful most all of Christ's followers were not the rich and the powerful. I'm thankful Christ associated with people that he shouldn't have, people who we didn't think deserved it. Maybe even people like us. Christ has taught us a way of life, but we got to be willing to follow it, to follow that road to that ultimate destination. Jesus is there with us in those difficult times, getting us over the obstacles that present themselves. I don't have to name them because I'm sure we all know what they are in our own lives. It's all those things that Christ bridges or cuts passes through. So if Christ is with us, shouldn't we be fully with Christ? We made a commitment last week and a promise to reaffirm our commitment to our Lord. We continue to offer our children to the church's care. We seek to fulfill the promises that we made to them at their baptisms. But oftentimes we fall short. But there is no time like the present to look into our hearts and to think about what we truly desire. So what is it we're going to choose? The Lord's path? Or the way we try to make for ourselves? I believe the decision here is easy. For our Lord appears to us in ways we can't even imagine. So why in the world would we ignore that? It's laid out there before us. Are you ready for the journey? I say, are you ready for the journey, beloveds? Thanks be to God. Amen.